Well, most of us have just returned from observing the Feast of Tabernacles in the eighth day. And during those 8 days of the feast, we've heard many, many messages. And we went through many scriptures that provided insight into the awesome calling that we have been given. We reviewed the plan that God has for all mankind, and I trust we now have a better understanding of the promises that God has given to those He has called to be sons of God, to be part of His family. You know, we've been called to serve with Him and to be one day bring all mankind to an understanding of God's way of life. Of course, during these 8 days at the feast, we also reviewed what is required of us in order to become part of God's family. And today I'd like to look at our calling as receiving an invitation to an interview. An interview with God to see if we would one day qualify to be sons of His, to be part of His family. You know, what does an employer look for when hiring an employee? You know, do they look for the individual with the highest IQ? Do they look for the person with most experience in the position that they're trying to fill? Well, as I was preparing this message, I found out that, you know, that's not always the case. You know, initially when I started hiring people, I thought the same thing. I wanted the most intelligent person. I wanted the person that had the most experience. But that's not necessarily the person that makes the best employee. You know, we don't necessarily hire the person with the highest IQ, but rather look for the person that will complement the team that's already in place. Of course, the candidate has to be capable of performing the duties, but more important, a person must be a good fit to the team. They're looking for someone that may be a team player, someone that will work hard, but will not cause strife or turmoil in the workplace. You know, we're looking for somebody that can help produce a quality product or that positive customer experience. You know, the experienced hiring manager knows that many of the attributes that make a quality employee will not be found on the resume, but rather it's a unique mix of skills, character, and experiences and personality that will provide just that right person for that job. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to spend a little time today looking at our calling from the perspective of conducting an interview with God, with our Creator. While I realize it may not be a perfect analogy and it'll break down at different places, I think if we look at it from that perspective, it can help us to understand what job qualifications we should have. After all, we heard at the feast that we're preparing for a much greater work than we're doing today. So let's take a look at some of the skill sets, the character traits, and some of the other attributes that are required if we're to be invited to be part of the family of God. So as I was preparing this message, I came across an article on LinkedIn. On the website, it was talking about hiring quality employees. And so I used some of the interesting comments from several well-known business leaders that were contributing to this article on the LinkedIn website. So first of all, we're called by God in much the same way that a candidate might be granted an interview with a potential new employer. Most of the time, only a small percentage of the individuals that apply for a job are actually granted an interview. You know, our calling from God could be compared to a company that's willing to provide maybe on-the-job training. Think about it. And our future employer wants to ensure that the individual selected has the right set of attributes before bringing them into the family business. Let's look at Matthew 22 and verse 14, and I think it's a good place to look at that. We're talking about the calling. If you would turn to Matthew 22 and verse 14, this is by no means a new scripture to any of us. I think we're all familiar with this. And it just says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." You know, I remember the last time that I was looking for a job, I sent out dozens of resumes, and I received one call. So it's much the same way that when you post a job on the internet, it's very likely that you'll receive a large number of applicants. But we kind of, in our company, and I'm sure it's the same in others, we distinguish between applicants and candidates. Applicants are those that just put their name in the bucket. The candidates are the ones that actually read the job description and they actually meet some of the job requirements. But, you know, God knows just who to call. You know, let's look at one other scripture in this area just to understand that the calling and kind of work that, understand that from the interview perspective. If you would turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll look at verses 8 and 9. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. And it says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." So we do have a calling, and this is kind of what I'm saying. I'm going to equate that calling to that that interview. Called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But it's so interesting that we're not called according to what's on our resume. We're called according to the purpose and the grace of God. You know, sometimes a person believes they may have the qualifications for a job, but the employer knows by looking at that resume and looking at some of the experiences that maybe, in fact, there's not the person that they're looking for. You know, they're seeking an employee that can fill their need, and that applicant may not be the right person. So now let's look at, as we go into the interview, what do we normally do, or what's the recommended to do before you go into the interview? You know, it's also said you want to know what the culture of the company, the culture of the organization. You know, a potential employer will grant an interview to those who they believe will be successful, but we want to only look at those that are, you know, being in, that it's a company that you want to work for. It's an interview. So you look at the at the culture of that company. So using the interview analogy, we've been granted an interview with the greatest organization, with the God family. You know, what we want to do is, are we spending time learning about that company? You know, what's the culture of the company like? What do they expect of those that will be one day be part of that organization, part of that family, part of the kingdom of God? You know, some companies are known for being a bit on the renegade side. I've worked for some of those companies. You know, the accuracy and the accounting wasn't all important. It was grow the business, get the work, and, you know, grow the, you know, from that standpoint. Then I've worked for those companies that they make you attest to the integrity that you do, that the accounting is accurate, that it's GAAP, that it is compliant with all of the company's policies, all of the required, that you are compliant with all of the local, the state, and the federal regulations that you operate under. So it's important that you understand and you look at that from that standpoint. Well, I think that we understand that the culture of the organization that we're talking about, interviewing for, is one of integrity, one of justice, of kindness, and of course wisdom. So it's an organization that we want to work for, or we want to be part of. But now, as we sit down for our interview with God, let's see if we can find the qualities and attributes that they're looking for. And what I've done is I've taken a lot of the information off this website, because I think when you look at the qualities that they're looking for, that those are some of the same qualities that God is looking for in the people that would be part of his organization as well. And the first individual that had a comment in this posting was Richard Branson. Some of you may know him. He's the founder of the Virgin Group, which comprises more than 400 companies. You've probably heard Virgin Records, Virgin Airlines. I mean, it's a multinational, and it's a conglomerate. And his article was, "You can't fake personality, passion, or purpose." So let's look at those three categories. Let's start with personality. And his comment said, "The first thing we look for when hiring new staff is personality. In my eyes, personality always wins over book smarts. Company knowledge and job-specific skills can be learned, but you can't train a personality." You know, I think it's important. You know, certainly God is looking for some of the same qualities in those that become part of his family. You're talking about a vibrant culture. There's nothing, not a company today that could hold a candle to the vibrant culture that will exist in the kingdom of God. Let's look at a first scripture that I thought talks about personality, because it talks about how you're going to relate to other people. And let's look at John 15, verse 15, if you would. John chapter 15, verse 15. And here it says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." You know, this is just a very warm, a very personal relationship that our employer is looking for. But he's looking for that same personality, that same relationship. You know, God, Jesus called them co-workers, friends. He shared his plans and the plans of his Father with them. They were part of the team, and he wanted them to feel engaged and to feel involved. Another scripture I think that shows the same attribute that he's looking for is in Philippians chapter 2. We'll look at verses 3 and verse 4. So Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. And I'm going to read this in the English Standard Version because I think it gives a little more clarity. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." You know, what it says is count others more significant, more important than yourself. I think that's part of personality. I think that's what they're looking for when you have that type of response when you see people, that you look at them and you value them. And one other area we talk about, I'd like to look at, one other scripture under this personality standpoint is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 through 5. In Galatians 6, verses 2 through 5, and it says, "Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ." You know, if we are to bear one another's burdens, this means that we're going to help each other out. We're going to offer that helping hand. We're going to be willing to share with somebody else if they have something to do. And it says in verse 3, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." So it's, again, think less of yourself than you think of others. Put others' needs, put others ahead of yourself. Think of them and be outgoing to them. And then in verse 4 it says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Interesting. It doesn't say examine the work of your co-worker. It says examine your own work. Don't be a busybody. Look at yourself and make sure that the work that you do is supportive of the organization and those that you're working with. And then in verse 5 it says, "For each one shall bear his own load." Again, do your own job. Hold, make sure you hold up your end of the bargain. Well, as I said, the second attribute that Richard Branson talked was passion. You know, in the article, Branson goes on to say, "It's important to find and hire passionate people who genuinely care about the business and its purpose." You know, I think we can find that as well. If you would, let's look at Philippians 3, verses 7 to 9. And I think we can see here the passion that Paul had in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9. It says, "But what things are gained to me that I have counted loss for Christ? Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." So here we see that Paul is passionate about living God's way of life, about doing that. You know, and let's look at one other scripture in this passion, and that's in Colossians 3 and verse 23. Again, this is a scripture that I think, you know, we have read before, but to have passion, this is, again, let's keep in mind that what we're looking for, these are the qualities that I think we need to have if we're one day be part of God's kingdom, of God's family. In verse 23 in Colossians 3, it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." So, and it says, "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Have passion. And when you are doing your work, and that can be used in all that we do. I think these are qualities that we need to have in our interactions with one another, whether it's here at church, whether it's in our family, whether it's at work. All of that is to have that passion. And then the third area that Branson mentioned was purpose. He said he needs to have purpose in what you're doing. You know, it says that passion and purpose will keep people focused on the job at hand. And it says it will ultimately separate the successful from the unsuccessful. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 as a scripture that talks about this as well. In Ecclesiastes, and here it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. But we want to do it with passion. We want to do it with purpose and make sure that what we do it to the very best we can. You know, we look at also one other proverb that I think is helpful in this area, and that's in Proverbs 12 in verse 24. In Proverbs 12 in verse 24, it says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." So here, the diligent, the one that is diligent, that has purpose. No, we just looked at three traits that Richard Branson felt were important for his company. You know, there's another CEO that I'd like to look at. This is a CEO from a company that specializes in training and development of individuals and organization. The gentleman's name is Brian Tracy, and he listed seven qualities employers are looking for, or the top seven qualities employers are looking for in candidates. And I'd like to look at four of those qualities that he talked about. The first one is courage. And here's what he said about courage. He says, "This is the willingness to take risks. Courage also means the willingness to accept challenges, the willingness to take on big jobs or even new jobs where there's a high degree of uncertainty and the possibility of failure." Well, we know that there's no possibility of failure, but you know, our calling certainly comes with a certain degree of uncertainty. We're not sure. We sat at the feast and we went through 8 days of looking at what the future will be like, but some of that, we're not sure. The Bible gives us the big picture, but we don't know the details. You know, we don't know. You talk about a big job. Bringing the entire world to an understanding of God's way of life is a big job. So I think courage is something that we have to look at. And when I thought of that, the scripture in Joshua 1 and verse 9 came to mind. If you would, let's turn there. You know, here God is telling Joshua to be strong and of good courage. He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Moses had just passed away, and now God is telling Joshua, who is Moses' assistant, to cross over the Jordan River, go into a foreign land, settle that land. You know, basically, Joshua's mission was that of a military leader, to assemble the people and then take them across the Jordan River into the foreign land, land that was basically settled and, you know, occupied by the Hittites. You know, you talk about accepting challenges and taking on a big job. That was courage that I think Joshua was being asked to demonstrate when he was to be the leader as they moved into the promised land. Brian Tracy goes on to say, courage also means the willingness to speak up and say exactly what you think and feel in a difficult situation. Employers admire men and women who are not afraid to speak their minds. And you can demonstrate this in a job interview when you ask frank and direct questions about the company, the position, and the future that you may have with the organization. You go, how do you equate that with our calling? If you would, let's look at Exodus 32, verses 11 through 14. And I think that this is part of the courage that we are asked to have. And then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this his harm to your people. You know, that's kind of what Mr. Tracy was saying. Moses was courageous when he pleaded with God to not bring wrath upon the children of Israel. You know, we need to have that same courage when we go before God in our prayer. We need to have that willingness. We need to have that confidence that we're allowed to go to God and have that courage and plead with him and be open with him and be honest with him in how we're feeling. That's courage. That's what he's looking for. The other category was inner strength. He says, inner strength means that you have the determination and the ability to persevere in the face of adversity. Inner strength means that you have the quality of persistence when the going gets rough. You demonstrate inner strength when you remain calm, cool, and relaxed during the job interview. You know, this is an attitude that we need to have as well. Let's look in Philippians 4 and verse 13. And it says very simply, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is an inner strength. If we're relying on Christ, we know that we're not doing it of our own. Our inner strength comes from knowing that we can call on Christ in times of need and that he'll provide us with the strength to weather any storm and to remain calm and cool through any trial or any crisis. This is not a strength that comes from our physical prowess. It's not a strength that comes from our knowledge, our intellect. It's not even a strength that necessarily comes from the experience, but it comes from the experience by the term of that we know that we can call on God, that he will provide us that inner strength. There's one other scripture that I think that is very that brings this inner strength into focus even better. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. In 2 Timothy 1, and it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of power, fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And when I think of those three, power, love, and a sound mind, that's what I think of when I thought of the true inner strength. I think this scripture captures the essence of an inner strength by combining those three qualities. This is a quality that God wants us to have in our daily lives. It will be a quality that he will desire to see in those that become part of his family and sons of God. You know, just as any employer would be excited to have this quality in one of his employees, God likewise wants this character in those that become part of his family. The next quality I'd like to look at is integrity. Integrity, in what Brian Tracy said here, is probably the most important single quality for a long-term success in life and at work. Integrity begins by being true to yourself. This means that you're perfectly honest with yourself and in your relationships with others. You're willing to admit your strengths and weaknesses. You're willing to admit where you have made mistakes in the past. Especially, you demonstrate loyalty when you never say anything negative about a previous employer or a person you've worked with for. Even if you were fired from a previous job, you never see anything negative. That's integrity. You know, let's look at Proverbs 20 and verse 6. In Proverbs 20, in verse 6, and it says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Some of the translation says, who can find a trustworthy man, a man of integrity? I think that's what they're talking about here. You know, and I'd like to look at one other scripture in this area, and that's in Numbers 23 and verse 19. And it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? These are the traits that I think that are part of integrity. A man is good for his word. You know, today this is becoming a rare trait. I hate to use the political arena, but, you know, we don't even expect our politicians to ever keep make good on their campaign promises. You know, we may joke and make fun of it, but the problem is it has become pandemic in our culture today. We have become so used to people not being true to their words. We need to make sure that we don't get caught up in that, you know, in that, that's permissible, that's permissive, because it's not. You know, it's something that we can't allow ourselves to get caught up in. Integrity is something that God requires. You know, the one other area then is that of empathy, is likability. You know, he said that employers like people who are warm and friendly, easygoing and cooperative with others. If you would, let's look in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24. In 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 24, and it says, let no one seek his own, but each one, the other's well-being. You know, this is empathy. This is, look, you know, we're not seeking our own good, but that of his neighbor. If we seek the well-being of others, we'll be perceived as having that quality that Brian Tracy refers to as likability. And that may be such a soft quality. It may not be something that we really look at. But he looks at it from the term that I think is a biblical principle. You know, he looks at it from the point of, well, that term, you know, it's an underlying character that is much deeper. And that's one of having empathy, of caring for someone else. You know, and also in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 11, we'll turn there. We won't spend a whole lot of time in that, but I think it's a scripture that we can look at. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, it says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So when it comes to that likability, I think if you comfort somebody, I think that that is the character trait that they're looking for. And, you know, we say, wow, this is actually a company is looking for that. I truly believe that this is something that God is looking for as well. You know, brethren, we spend a lot of time, and I know we've gone through those points very quickly. You know, Branson says that nowadays it's rare that people work 9 to 5. We're more connected than ever before, so many of us are working longer hours and with more commitment. With this in mind, it's important to find and hire passionate people who genuinely care about the business and its purpose. You know, that might be true for Virgin Group and all of their companies, but truly, I think God's looking for passionate people, people that have the qualities that we just discussed today. You know, he goes on to say is that, you know, while it may seem like a desperate rush to get someone through the door to help carry the load, it's worth being patient to find the right person rather than unbalancing the team. I thought that was a unique concept of unbalancing the team. You know, I don't think God wants to unbalance his team either. I think he wants to have a family that is balanced, that everybody brings the same culture to the organ, to the family, to the kingdom, because we need to teach that same culture to others. You know, the analogy, as I said, may not be perfect, but I think it's helpful to look at our calling as an interview with God. This is our time of on-the-job training. If we don't have all of these characters, these traits, it's a time that we can use to build them, to develop them, so that we can demonstrate as we go through on-job training that we are and we understand God's culture. We understand the attributes that He wants to bring to those people that one day will bring the entire world to an understanding of His way of life. You know, God is not concerned as much with our technical skills as interested in our character and our attitude. You know, the fall feast pictured a very exciting time in the plan of God, a time when our on-the-job training will be complete and we'll be expected to assume our full-time positions, to become full-time members of the kingdom of God, and to assist in bringing the rest of mankind to an understanding of God's laws and His way of life. And being successful in this calling is not about our IQ. In the Bible, it says, has called the weak of the world to confound the mighty. And just like an employer, God's looking for the attitude, the willingness to work as a team and place others in front of what is required of us, or of our personal, and in front of ourselves. And it's what required God to get the job done, to look at the needs of others. You know, in this case, our future employer can teach us the skills. He can teach us all of those skills. But what he wants to know is, will be the valuable employee? Is it our character that we have to develop through his help, through his spirit? You know, he wants to make sure that we have that character trait of passion, of purpose, courage, the inner strength that will help ensure a successful on-job training experience.